Leaders who have been in a role for longer score actually less on how good they are at communicating. So if someone is new in the role, they obviously they're making that extra effort, and they and employees see that and they engage with that. Whereas if a leader has been in the role for a long time, they tend to get complacent.
Louise Willoughby, you're the Chief People Officer at Lumapps in Zurich, Switzerland. And you were previously the CPO of Beekeeper, which has been now been acquired by Lumapps. One of the things that I want to chat to you today about is engagement. Now, if you were to sit back in your chair and put your hands behind your head and have a look at it, what is your view of engagement just as a broad brushstroke?
So just a broad brushstroke in terms of employee engagement in the workplace.
Yes.
I would say that for me, the definition is really where employees are fully committed to the purpose of the company and feel emotionally connected to that purpose of the company. And therefore, they are excited about where the company is going. They are feeling engaged in terms of wanting to find solutions and help leadership, like there's that collaboration between leadership and employees and finding solutions and moving the company forward. And that for me is true engagement in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you are known for is reducing attrition at Beekeeper. Tell me a little bit about that.
So back in the day, I think we all remember the great resignation after the COVID pandemic. A lot of tech companies, especially, and we're a tech company, we struggled with that. It was a time when people started definitely looking after some time of stability during the pandemic. There was like an opening and a lot of people started looking elsewhere. And we suffered just as many other tech companies. And so we really wanted to understand why that was happening and what we could do as a company to turn that around. So we did a lot of work in terms of analyzing why is it the employees who actually stayed with us long term, and why is it that employees wanted to join us? Those are the two groups we really honed in on to see what is it that was really engaging them to stay and want to stay within the company. And what we really found was that purpose was key. So the people staying with us, they really felt a really strong link to the purpose of the company and what we did, the impact we had on our clients, and actually on the greater good that we were having at Beekeeper, in terms of the impact we were having on frontline workers' lives. So that was very much linked to our purpose of the company. And then that was for our current employees who were staying with us longer term. And we also saw that with employees that we were hiring. They were very, very enticed by that mission that we had. They felt there was a greater purpose that they were being part of. And so we really honed in on that in terms of different initiatives and benefits and engagement, communication. We did a lot around how we built programs, for example, that allowed our employees to go to our clients. We called it a frontline day, where they could spend a whole day working side by side with our clients. And so that was very much that then, seeing how they could link and understand our clients even better and bring them closer. So that was one. Another thing we did was that we introduced actually a sabbatical program, which allowed our employees who had been here for a longer time to be able to take a month where they would work. But it wasn't just a sabbatical for the sake of lying on a beach. It was about learning. They had to have a learning project. And a lot of our employees then actually found learning projects that linked it back to the company as well, and what they could then bring back to the company. So that's just a few examples of what we did to really highlight how we prioritize learning and a purpose-driven company. In all aspects.
Okay. Louise, how does one kind of identify purpose alignment with someone when you're in the hiring process, short of asking them, do you believe in the mission of our company?
I think, first of all, you can see, try to find out what is the red line that really drives someone during their career. So it's not just about asking, why you want this role, but what is it that's driven you during your career to make those changes? What has driven you to leave one company and join another? And then I feel that you get a picture of what is their true calling, what is it that really drives their decisions during their career? And then you can see how that can match then with your company's purpose.
Now, if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that purpose plays a critical role. So that means that it's not all about money.
Definitely.
Now, what have you got to say to executives out there who kind of have this mindset, well, I'll just offer them enough money and then they'll come in. Any suggestions to whisper in their ears, so to speak?
You may be able to get that person in the door, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will be engaged and really doing top performing work. I think that's the difference. You may get them there and they may stay with you, but will they truly be engaged? Will they truly be going that extra mile? Will they be federating and advocating for your federating employees within the company and advocating externally for your company? That I'm not so sure about. And money will not get people truly engaged in your company's future and success.
And companies that kind of almost fake the purpose thing, is that an issue for a prospective person, a prospective employee, so to speak? How could they
Definitely.
identify?
Yeah.
Watch out for that.
Oh, you mean employees, how they could identify? I think that there's the link also with the company values. We hear that, I think that discussion, I think, in HR and in companies has been long going, is that yes, company values, now it's the standard that you obviously put them on your website and everyone communicates around them, but are they truly driving the behavior in the company? I think that's then very similar to purpose. Yes, you can put a purpose on your website and communicate it, but how is it really showing up in the company? And so then employees, they will now nowadays they don't only speak to their manager, they often will have a team call, or they will through Glassdoor, through different their networks, they will talk. Actually, we're seeing this more and more. They will actually talk to people around that they know, who know of the company, and they will ask these questions. So I think that companies need to be aware of that just writing something or communicating something is not enough. They really do have to live it.
Is there any connection between the different generations and purpose? Do you find it more present at certain levels?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I see it definitely coming more and more in the younger generation, I would say. Definitely seeing that that is something that is extremely important to them, that they feel a stronger link to the purpose of the company. And also in general, they ask a lot of questions about sustainability. They ask about diversity. So they ask specifically about what we are doing in these areas because they want to feel not only aligned purpose on the purpose, but even ethically to the company as well. And that I feel I did not see 20 years ago at all.
Just to kind of shift a little bit now, when one looks at a case study, one often looks at what the problem was, what one set out to achieve, and how you went about it. And then also, there's very often a case of things we learnt along the way. Share a couple of the things that you've learnt along the way about the whole thing of engagement and attrition.
Ah, that's a good question. Let me think a little bit about that. I would say, I think that
There's almost the things that, well, we're not going to do that again.
I really want to answer this. I want to find a specific maybe example. I would say that I think that we sometimes think that that we sometimes think that just by bringing people together is enough to build connections and bring and drive engagement. Whereas I think what I've realized, and I think people realize, is that it's not just enough to like to do workplace team building and then expect that's enough, that that's going to drive continued engagement. I think that we can, there are, we have in the past, and companies I think have maybe spent a lot of money in that way, whereas it's actually the day-to-day interactions that really matter. It's actually how people work on a day-to-day. Yes, those interactions, yes, those points in time are important, but it's the it's how people show up every day and how leaders are truly transparent with their intentions and follow through. That's what really makes the difference, rather than these big splash events, etc., which are also important, but it's not enough. That I think that's one of the bigger learnings, I would say. Yeah, maybe I'll think of another example a bit later as
Okay.
as we
And if you do,
discuss.
feel free to chip in
Yes.
and do it. What I want to do is shift our conversation a little bit more to focus more on women and particularly working moms. Now, it's not just a case of good ethics in terms of supporting working moms. It's good business sense. Give me a couple of ideas as to, what you would say to executives who have a mother's or a liability mindset.
You mean in terms of feeling that maybe that it's risky to employ
Absolutely.
mothers,
And they're
or
distracted and all
even
that kind of stuff.
I would say that first of all they're a huge just they're a huge asset to the company. Even mothers when they become mothers, yes, there's a transition period when someone leaves on maternity leave and comes back. There's a transition period for that person. But we've also is clear is that there's a huge learning that they come back with as well, that they bring to the workplace and that they share with others, and that they generally will bring that back, and it's as if they bring an added knowledge to the workplace that they can share. And if we don't acknowledge that, and if we don't have some also some if we don't adapt and make some accommodations during the period where there will be a need for adaptation, the first 3 months are generally where mothers will need to adapt. If we don't do that and allow for that, then mothers will leave because they need to make some adaptations, and we lose such a valuable workforce that we need to make sure that we're open to being more flexible, at least for some time, as they refine their footing and are able to come back as the amazing resource that they are in the workplace. I would say also that it's not a mother's issue on its own. I would say it's a family issue. We need to be looking at it holistically. That it's not. There are also fathers in this equation, and by overall promoting family equality in the home and sharing that responsibility, you overall, if you're supporting the fathers in the workplace, you are ultimately also sending a strong message. And ensuring that becomes a shared responsibility in the workplace. So I think that's important as well, that we don't also only isolate that focus on the mothers, but look at it more holistically to the whole family unit.
Yeah, you're right there in terms of it's very much a family approach. Back in the day, We used to have a very military model of leadership where it's a case of, you're at work to do a job. Now, leave your problems at home. Whereas that one, and I think COVID cured us about that, of that, because we were forced to deal with people in their homes, so to speak. So it really, how does one create an environment where you've got a case where people don't have to choose between their career and their family?
I think flexibility is key, and I like to call it radical flexibility. That you have you by creating an environment where you're actually you have a very strong message that you are trusting your employees to do the work without necessarily clocking in, clocking out, having that flexibility of when they can do the work, having also being open to part-time work for anyone, not just mothers, but being very vocal that this is also for anyone. It creates an environment then that you're trusting them to do the work when it's needed, when they can. Obviously, you can have things like core hours, etc., but then be able to give that flexibility so that they're able to mix home and work. And what we find is you get so much more out of your employees by doing that. People generally who are part-time, they get very good at prioritization. They get very good at focusing when they're at work. They're 110 focus, 10% focus, rather than they don't waste a second. I think that's what we've noticed. Maybe that comes back to what you were just saying about mothers and a message to mothers. They get extremely good at prioritization and working efficiently. And I think that also goes for anyone who's working part-time as well. And so also by having that just in the workplace, that flexibility, I think really creates an environment where people are willing to that they feel trusted, and then they will go that extra mile as well.
Are there any warning signs that people should watch out for in terms of attrition becoming a problem? Prevention is better than cure. So anything that you can, early warning signs that can alert people?
Let me think. I would say it's when people actually become, it comes back to engagement, because it's when people become less engaged, when you see they are not speaking up as much, when you see actually that they are even the more negative complaints, if you actually not even if you're seeing less of them, but you're not seeing much engagement at all, then that's when you're seeing people are becoming more passive, and that's the bigger one. You may that's the bigger big flag for me. And I've had experience when we've seen that in certain teams, and we've seen it's a team that was normally would have been be proposing questions, being asking, being curious, etc. And when you see that's changed, then we saw that as a flag, and have then gone in to ask the questions to try and find out what was the root cause of that. So I think that's a key thing.
Louise, I'm going to throw a couple of rapid fire questions at you now, and I just
Okay.
want you to answer off the top of your head.
Sure.
If someone who's struggling with high attrition in the workplace, what's the first thing they should do on Monday morning?
High attrition. What should they do on Monday morning? They should hope they should be looking at their employee engagement surveys. They will hopefully have some kind of pulse survey that they have. For me, that's key, that they have something that they are able to look at and to really try and identify where a key issue that they can be working with their leaders on.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that companies have about why people leave?
I think when people say, like the old saying of people leave because of managers, I think that's too easy. I think it's a much more complicated than that.
The biggest mistake companies make when it comes to retention?
When it comes to retention, I think actually it's what you said. They think maybe throwing money or throwing a standard sort of benefits program together will solve the issue.
Okay, and one last one here. Any retention strategy that you think is pretty overrated?
Ah, I can't think of one. I'm trying.
Something that one thinks, yes, we're going to do that and it's going to sort all our problems out, and it actually doesn't.
Maybe just rolling out tools. Sometimes, I think what we're seeing now is there's a lot of digital. Can get too much and too many tools that are supposed to solve something. And I think there's definitely tools that can be very, very good, but it's not going to solve deep problems if you don't really select it properly and roll it out properly and know what you're solving for. It's not a magic bullet.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the outcomes from the report that you guys did.
Yeah, so we did this report. It's called the Future of Work Index. So it was an independent report measuring the impact of the transformation that is going on now across tech leadership, work culture, and especially what has been impacted by AI. So it's very much the digital transformation that has been going on for many years, but now is being pushed to, I would say, to new heights through the AI revolution. And it was a panel, it's very much industry experts we wanted to get insights from. So it was more than 200 business leaders, around 50 communication leaders as well across Europe and the US. And we got insights from C-suite, HR, IT leaders. And so it really, we were able to then get a good, we asked questions around how they are around communication, around employee engagement, how AI is this, how they are figuring out how this new AI is impacting their way of working, and so that was that's and some of the key, I would say the key thing that for me stood out there was that employee engagement is a top priority, but it is poorly defined. And I think that is one of the key things that was interesting really to hone in on, that 80% of the leaders we talked about say engagement is a priority, but 40% of them have a clear definition. They define it as commitment to the business, whereas the others, 60%, they disagree with that definition and they have a multitude of others. So it's very fragmented about what they define. And so obviously that the consequence of these top leaders not even being able to define what engagement is, having an agreement on what that is that there is a confusion when you're trying to align those leaders on priorities and on how to address engagement, and then it leads to weak real action and weak action and programs to really address it. That's one of the key messages I would say. And another one is around that close to 70% of leaders said that employee engagement had increased in priority in the past 2 years, which is, I think, a very good sign. But only 38% say it's a top priority with real investment. So there's a gap here between the intent and the resources. And I think that is something that we should really be looking at.
Thank you so much. Now, Louise, as I wrap up, I put the same question to every single person that I chat to. And
Yeah.
because I've come to know that experts have something on their hearts that they want to share. What is that one thing that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share with people that we haven't spoken about?
Well, I think it goes back to the engagement part is, really, what is it that we can do about that? Yes, there's these programs, but what is it that, what are some things that maybe I haven't done in the past? But I also learned things from this report. It was really interesting for me to read as well. And I think what stood out for me there is, what can we really do then? What are some new things we can really do? And I think that it was this thing I think I talked to you about is like, focusing on the everyday employee experience, that these one big shots are not necessarily the ones that are going to solve it. It is looking at what can you do to really really help employees in their day-to-day interactions. Invest also in leadership communication, because there fewer than 40% of employees found that leadership communications were motivating. And ultimately, it's you will the messages and your intent as a company will come through that communication through leaders. And so I think that is a key takeaway that I had as well. And also finally, how technology can help with that, but we need to also be careful, because it needs to reduce the friction, so that you can improve alignment and communication, but not add that extra noise. So it's very important, what type of technology you choose to be able to make sure that you're giving an experience, a tailored experience to your employees, and that leadership are really thoughtful about their communications and get really good at it. What we've seen in this report as well is that leaders who have been in a role for longer score actually less on how good they are at communicating. So if someone is new in the role, they're making that extra effort, and employees see that and they engage with that. Whereas if a leader has been in the role for a long time, they tend to get complacent. So maybe putting a focus on how leaders can really get better at that through coaching, through in training, but also through learning from each other and through using the right tools to really do it in a way that's going to be impactful. I'd say that's one of the insights I had from the report.
Got you. Louise Willoughby, thank you so much for sharing your vast practical experience as a Chief People Officer. Many
Thank
thanks.
you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.